But it is wonderful. This morning, as I thought about what message do we share, coming to the end of about 10 months for Leon and I, our first 10 months here, and our end of our year, I think it's way nicer to be close. I can look in your eyes. In Banff, it was like this when all the young adults would sit at the back of the church. I would just take my, and I would come stand right here. All right, now I can preach. I'm kidding. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. It's such a wonderful passage. A great encouragement for us this morning as we say goodbye to 2017 and we begin a new year. I want to first of all say a special thank you on behalf of Leon and I to all of your kindness. I was so touched by all the thoughtful things you wrote in your cards and Christmas cards and all the hugs. One of the nice things is being hugged and getting all the smooches from all the seniors in our church, and we really feel loved. I don't know how else to say it except truly from my heart. We feel loved by you as a church. All the gifts of chocolate and all the things. You are kind to us, and we feel it. Leon and I both. We thank God for the church. We thank God for you. We truly do feel your love. And this is what God does, right? He opens our hearts. I love how it says in 1 Corinthians, make space in our hearts. Make space in your hearts for us. And I think that's what God is doing among us. So I am very grateful. And this passage is a true encouragement. It is possible to have complete joy. Do you believe that? It's hard to believe it, isn't it? It's hard to believe that message. It is possible. It is possible to have complete joy. Now, I'm not talking about a joy from our circumstance. It's a joy beyond that. It's beyond our work, beyond all of our accomplishments, though those are good things. That's what God has given us so that we can enjoy our work. We can find joy in these things, and they're good, but that's not complete joy. There is complete joy that's beyond how we receive the recognition of others, though there's joy in that. People express love, and all that we accumulate in our status, there's a joy beyond that. I think it's here in these verses. There's a joy that's beyond even our health and our comfort. True joy is outside of all of these things. And there are people in our world that even in this moment are suffering greatly, are suffering truly and completely, but have this kind of joy. So it would be good for us to understand this as we step into the next year. I think the book of Philippians is a great place for us to go because it's all about joy. If you read this book, it is truly amazing. Kind of towards the end of Philippians, if you're there already, look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. You find your joy, you rejoice in the Lord, that he is your Lord in chapter 3, verse 1. And he says it again in chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And 4, verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Here's the Apostle Paul, his own personal testimony. And in 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. So that's quantifiable. How often? Always, all the time. And then he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. That is with this great sense completely. So that's ultimately where Paul finds his joy, in the Lord, not in his circumstance, not in things that somehow he's praying about, if only I could get an answer to this prayer. No, he actually finds his joy in the one he is praying to, in the Lord. He's rejoicing in the Lord. And it will be great when we can preach through the book of Philippians someday. I'm hoping after Colossians that maybe we'll go to the Old Testament. But as we come back, this is a wonderful place if you are looking for perspective on your life. Probably Philippians is the most quoted book in the New Testament. If I were to say some of the verses, you would know them all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You probably can end that verse. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete. We know the book of Philippians. But this morning, I think it's good for us as we think about the new year to find our perspective here in these verses. Paul is in prison. And yet, he prays in prison, but he doesn't pray to get out of prison. He prays for the people that he's writing the letter to. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. Actually, verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I think this is what God is doing in my heart. This is what God is doing in our hearts as a church. He's giving us love and affection for one another as the affection of Christ. And Paul says it. And look how he prays. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Paul isn't even praying to get out of prison. There's something more important here than getting out of prison. In fact, if you read the whole book of Philippians, he is excited that what's happened to him has advanced the gospel. Look at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He talks about the whole imperial guard has come to know the gospel as the rest and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. He is saying in this struggle, there's something wonderful that is happening. So as we step into the next year, whatever you are carrying this morning or you will carry, what is unknown to us, we can have complete joy. And this is Paul's command here in our verses. So I want to pray, and then we're going to jump in. Only four verses this morning, but I think it's a great kind of compass setting, a great direction for us as we look to the new year. Will you pray with me? Father, you are kind. You are kind by your Spirit to expose our sin so that we can be rid of it. You are kind by your Spirit, even in suffering, so that we will reach out and depend on you. You are kind to give us a hope beyond a hope that this world can give, because you are our hope. You are kind because you understand and you hear our prayers and you love and you serve us. Unbelievably, that Jesus, in this very passage, in this text, humbled himself, became a man, obedient to death, even death on the cross, and he took on the form of a servant. So God, you are kind in all these things. I pray that this morning you will change us by your word. I pray that you will give us joy that is beyond our circumstance. Father, you know each heart that is here. You know what we will face in the days ahead. And I pray that we will remember this sermon. We'll come back to these verses in Philippians, that there is a complete joy that's beyond our circumstance, whether in prison or whatever we face. I pray that we will open your word and you will expose our hearts to your word, and that it will change us like a piece of film paper exposed to light, that the imprint and the image of Jesus will be burned into us, and that the world will see the truth of it. Father, I pray that you'll speak and you will convince us of this truth, that there is true joy in the Lord. And I pray this in his name, in Jesus' name, our risen Savior, we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, that in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. In the original, this is really only one sentence, and there's only one main verb. There is other participles and other secondary verbs, but the main verb is really this one word in verse 2, to complete or to fulfill, depending on your Bible translation. And it is a command. Paul is giving it a command. Complete my joy. Fill my joy. And then he goes on to explain what it is that would give him the greatest joy. And that's why I took a little bit of time to give us the context of the whole book of Philippians. Because it's all about how Paul's joy is in the Lord and the advance of the gospel. And he's praying with joy that they would know God's love and grow in it. So verse 2 tells us the answer. What is it that is complete joy in verse 2? By being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, in full agreement, and having one mind. So somehow there is this great joy in unity in the church. And what Paul is saying, there's really two ideas here, I think, that we'll see this morning. The first one is in verse 1 and 2, and that is that our unity is based on shared, genuine Christian experience, a shared, genuine experience of God. That's verse 1, right? If there's any encouragement in Christ. See, out of verse 1 comes this unity because it's what is shared. There is a real experience of Christ. And then the second idea is in verse 3 and 4, and he says really that this unity is only possible through humble serving. And then we have the picture of Christ, who is the servant, which I even prayed in verse 5 to 11, this powerful picture of Christ who serves us, and we should have the mind of Christ, have the attitude of Christ. That's verse 5. So he's basically saying two ideas. First of all, that our complete joy, Paul's complete joy, is in the experience together as a church of a shared, genuine experience of Christ. That is complete joy. That's what completes Paul's joys. That's what will complete our joy as a church as we step into 2018. This is my prayer for First Baptist Church, for us as a church family. And the only way, the second idea, is the only way that will happen is if we humbly serve one another with the mind of Christ. So I could be done the sermon. I think we would have lots to chew on for this day. Look at the first verse. Unity is the result of a genuine experience of Christ. If there is any encouragement in Christ, where is encouragement found? Yeah, it's in Christ, right? Any comfort from love. And I think what he is doing here is he is saying the exact same thing. I'm just going to leave my notes here. Most of the Greek scholars that I read this week believe that this is actually a Trinitarian statement, these first three descriptions. Encouragement in Christ, comfort from God's love, it's assumed here is what they believe, and participation in the Spirit or fellowship in the Spirit. That word is koinonia, which means what we have in common. It's this shared experience. The whole idea of these first three statements in verse 1 is it's the Trinity. It's God the Father. It's the exact same thing we find in 2 Corinthians 13. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The exact same word, koinonia, the fellowship of the Spirit. So if they are right, it makes sense. Because if you know 2 Corinthians, where this quote is coming from, it's all about the God of comfort. The God of comfort. And here, look at verse 1. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love and fellowship or participation or what is common, koinonia in the Spirit, then really that is the idea here. And most of those that I read this week believe that it is some kind of early church formula. It was some kind of almost like a creedal type of statement that the church would use these things. It was like a way of saying, may God in Christ and in by his Spirit and the love of God comfort you. The other thing I noticed this week as I read is this is a conditional statement. If, then. That's how a condition statement works. It's the potesis and apotesis. I can't remember exactly. You've learned English better than I have. You know how it works. It's the if statement. If this happens, if this happens, then this will happen. In fact, most translations actually do that in verse 2. If there is these things, then complete my joy. It's a basic conditional statement. But from the context, it is basically revealing it already has happened. And it's called a third class condition, where they say it's better to translate the word if to translate it since there is. Now we know this is true because Paul is very clear. Even in chapter 1 verse 1, he says to the saints who are in Christ Jesus, 1 verse 1, grace and peace to you from God our Father. It's this shared understanding of God who is our Father and Jesus who is our Lord. And then you go down to verse 5 of chapter 1. Because of your partnership in the gospel, that's the exact same word, koinonia. Partnership, participation in the Spirit here in 2 verse 1. And that same word is repeated again in verse 7. You are all partakers with me of grace. Koinonia of God's grace. We have this, what is common amongst us, what is our hope is not that one is better than the other, that we are somehow are going to self-improve. No, we share God's grace. What is wonderful here in Philippians, and I know what you're thinking, I'm going to preach through the whole book, but that's what he's trying to say. That we are one in Christ in 1 verse 1. Then what do we have in common? In verse 5, we have this partnership, this participation in the gospel. What we share is this gospel hope in verse 5. And then we are partakers of this grace. That's what we share. And look what it says in verse 7. For you are all partakers. And all that to say, I just want to build my case for the translation that since there is encouragement in Christ. And that is the context. That's what he's telling us. It is that we have encouragement in Christ. We do find comfort in God's love. And it almost assumes that you're going to need comfort. It assumes that there will be difficulties where you will reach out to God and God himself will comfort you. And you will need encouragement. And there is encouragement. And there is this participation, this fellowship of the Spirit. The fourth description is tenderness and compassion at the end of verse 1. And it's kind of like Paul is sort of wrapping it all up. He's bringing these all together. And he's saying, if all of these things are your experience, and maybe it's connected to the work of the Holy Spirit, this participation of the Spirit, and this is what it looks like. When the Spirit begins to take a hold of the life of the believer, and as I stand so close to you, I look right in your eyes, as God takes a hold of your life, he begins to give you tenderness. He begins to give you compassion. Now that's really going to matter, because verse 2 says we need to be one in spirit, that we actually are one. So this all wrapped together is Paul's way of saying it is a shared experience of Christ that is the source of our unity. And Paul says, this is what makes my joy complete. This is what gives him complete joy. I believe this is God's plan for you and for me and for First Baptist Church. This is a great verse of encouragement and direction for us into the new year. Since we have encouragement in Christ, and since we have comfort from his love, and since we participate in the Spirit, and we have the work of the Spirit and affection and compassion or sympathy, then like Paul's command, make his joy complete. His joy for the church, our joy for the church, my joy for Christ's church. Is that we would realize verse 2. See, if this is true, then this will happen. And what is verse 2? That we would be of the same mind, we would have the same love, we would be in full accord or in full agreement, and we would have one mind. Now, the simplest way to translate is to say that we're thinking the same thing. And I think it is important in other places when Paul talks about 1 Corinthians 15, the one thing I declared to you, that Christ died, was buried, was raised. He is very clear on what the gospel is. But here I think he's thinking of something else. He's not just saying that we all think exactly the same thing and check the boxes. I think the context shows us that he means we are all thinking of one another. It's all about the mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition, verse 3, or vain conceit, but in humility count others as more significant. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. Verse 5, have the mind among yourselves. He's talking about thinking about one another. That is his real focus, having one mind. Now, we're going to come back when we go through the book of Philippians and look at this closer, but I just want to point out that if you read the book of Philippians, Paul has already said this. He's already said this back in chapter 1. He's talking about his life, to live as Christ, to die as gain, in verse 21. If I'm to go on living in the flesh, it'll be fruitful labor. So Paul is saying, I want to labor among you. I want you to experience this shared experience. But look down at verse 25, convinced of this, convinced that for me to live as Christ, this is what Christ wants. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Wow. See, it's not just joy in our circumstance. It's exactly the same message, that as we grow, our progress and our joy will be in our shared experience of Christ, our faith that we place in him. And then he goes on, verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm, here it is, in one spirit, with one mind. Wow. Now that is a verse for First Baptist Church, that our joy is complete in Christ. That when we're discouraged, we find our encouragement in Christ. That we find our comfort in the Lord's comforting love, our Father's love. And that we find our encouragement, our participation in the Spirit that gives us affection and compassion. And that we stand firm with one mind. And look how verse 27 ends. Striving together, side by side, for the faith of the gospel. And not frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a clear sign for them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but that you should also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. See, what's amazing about this all, laid over the context of the suffering of the Apostle Paul. He has opponents. If we took the time to read, he said, some are hoping to cause me trouble while I'm in prison. The Apostle Paul was beaten, and the list goes on in Corinthians. And laid over all of this, there is complete joy in the Lord, in the shared gospel experience. I think I'll leave the second point. It comes to humility and the servitude of Christ. Let me say this, there's three kinds of interests in these verses. Look at verse 4. You have your own interest. And then it says you have the interest of others. And then Paul uses the example of Timothy in verse 21. They all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But Timothy seeks the interests of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So it's not just my own interests, and it's not just the interest of another, but it's Christ's interest in another. Wow. See, if we have the shared gospel experience, the shared encouragement in Christ and comfort from his love and participating in the Spirit in verse 1 and 2, and this produces affection and compassion, then we will be unified as a church. And where disunity is, it begins to grow, and where there's a struggle, we need to come and begin to say, what does it look for us, like for us to have this participation in God's grace from the very beginning of Philippians? And if it happens, I hope I can come to you with the kindest of openest intentions and to call you to this kind of complete joy in the Lord. And this is my prayer for First Baptist Church. Will you pray with me? I want to do something that I do often in my devotions. I just read and God teaches me something in the mornings, and then I just pray through the text as I've read it. So I'd like to do that. Would you just open your Bibles and have it open, and just as I pray out loud, just pray silently and pray these things in your own life and the work of God in our lives as a church as we finish 2017 with grateful hearts. God is good. Will you pray with me? Father, we do believe this is your word. This is your will. This is your message for us this morning. I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that we would be able to pray and see this very thing. Since we have encouragement in Christ, let us have the same mind, that together we are encouraged in Christ. Not just that I'm encouraged in Christ and I'll go try to pump someone else up, but that I will open my life and together in the church, God, I pray for this. I pray that together we would find encouragement in Christ, that we would pray with one another, that we would read your word together in the new year. I pray that we would have the same mind and the same spirit, that we would find mutual encouragement in Christ. I pray that we would find the comfort of a Father's love, that you are the God of mercy and the Father of all comfort from 2 Corinthians. Father, I pray that where we have, since we have comfort from our Father's love, I pray that we would have the same mind and the same love in full accord of one mind. Father, I pray that we would not just be a friendly church. I know we are, but I pray that out of our shared experience of Christ, out of the work of the gospel, we would have the same mind. Father, I thank you for what is common among us, that you have filled us with your Spirit. Your Spirit convicts us of sin and convinces us of truth. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Father, convince us of this by your Spirit in this exact moment. And Father, by your Spirit, I pray that you would produce affection and compassion and sympathy. And by your grace, we would experience all these things together. The same mind, the same love, in full accord with one mind. And I pray, Lord, that as we step into the new year, that we would find our joy and our strength and all of our being in Christ, who is the head of this church, his body. And as your people, we look to you as your servants to please you in all we say and do. Father, be glorified. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus, our risen Savior. We pray. Amen.